Couple weeks back, we had talked about epistles and things. It says, the life that we live is being read. We are not going through the world unnoticed. Someone is looking on, and someone is, to some extent, fashioning his life after ours. And don't you find that true, that people fashion their lives after, generally, other people? When you've been raised in a family, you know, your mom or dad or whatever, you kind of fashion your life maybe after them or grandpa or something that you see there, and you go, I want to be like them. I want to follow in that footstep. And so we are looking and following and fashioning, for the most part, our lives after someone. Our life each day is being written down in someone's memory. Talks about a person here where their children just, they continue to remember their mother or their grandmother and how they recall the things that grandma was about and how that continues to live on, even though grandma may not even be here for decades, that life that she lived, our grandpa's life that he lived, still lives on in the people, in the families, in the generations that go on. And so anyway, it helps us understand how important it is that people are watching and looking at us. Talks about Christians are said to be the epistle of Christ. To read their life is to read the life of Jesus. All the Bible that many will ever read, again, is what they read in the lives of Christians. Life will be read just as it is, not as it may be pretended to be. It is not what we pretend it to be, but what we really are. It's what people really see, how you respond to things, how you react to things, how you handle situations that you come across or comes across your path. We all know that we go through different situations in life, and some good and some not so good, right? And it's generally the ones that are the bad ones or not as quite as happy ones to go through that people will look at sometimes to see how you came through those and where did you get your strength from? How did you survive that? How did you keep a stiff upper lip? How did all these things happen in your life? And so people look at these things. We should strive not so much to make life holy as to be holy. If we are holy, then live just what you are. We should never strive to be what we're not. And so don't pretend. Just live life as it is. Now, if you're a true follower of Christ, that will be evident, don't you believe? There'll be things that your mannerisms, things that you say, things you don't say, how you say them, how you care for people, what you try to do in your everyday life will replicate, hopefully, that of Christ. People will never read the Word of God in your life simply because you have a neat little testament in your pocket or that big, large family Bible on your center table. The Bible can get into the life only by beginning at the heart. There is power in the Word of God. It will transform the life, that the life will be read just like that of the Holy Scriptures. So I find that encouraging, but also you find it somewhat like, wow, that people are really looking at me and seeing my actions and relating that even into what Christ would be like. You know, we talk about how we want to be the hands and the feet, and that's what we're going to share a little bit here as we get into, as we wrap up as well, this point of being the epistle. We started a couple of weeks back, and then we got sidelined with last week. But 2 Corinthians, about Christ's epistle. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. And so we shared a little bit of that and what that was about. And we want to find out that in the areas of growing in spirituality, it says we must be determined to grow spiritually. Such growth is painful because one undergoes stretching, molding, refining by the Holy Spirit. Kind of ties into that of pruning. This is just a footnote, a side note to this area of 2 Corinthians that we just looked at, 2 Corinthians 3, 1-3. And so we look at this to where, you know, it is not always painless. Sometimes it is painful to be stretched and molded into the things that God wants you to be. We get into being shaped by the Holy Spirit so that people can come to know Jesus through what they see. And that's what it's all about, is seeing what they see, they want more of it, right? Hopefully, as people see the things that you entertain, the things that you have, the things that you're able to show, I hope people are saying, well, Pat, I want more of what you've got, you know, and how you deal with these situations, or Linda or Dawn or any one of us in here on how things in life deal and how we deal with them. And so we are that epistle. The Lord is writing his epistle on our hearts, amen. And people are going to do what? Read it. You're being read like a book, you know. And that is kind of a sad state of affairs. A lot of people don't want to pick up a Bible and read it, but I'd rather watch Lou. And how Lou acts, that's the way I'm going to read the Bible through him, or that's what I'm going to perceive it to be. Now, the danger of all that is, of course, when they look at us, we are what? Sometimes fallible, because we are man, you know. We are susceptible to the things of things that take place in this world. And if we don't maintain our own spiritual health and continue to stay strong in the things of God and being pruned by God, by that of the Spirit, to make sure that what the gifts that we've got, that he prunes, and that we can bear what? More. And that the gifts that we do have are not just little ones, but they can bloom and flourish into even bigger type things that people can see. But that's through staying close to God and allowing him to work within our life. A lot of things I think that happens a lot of times is we get into that false sense of Christian security type thing, to where once we get into it, we feel like it's okay, that I've got a given now, and God's going to be there, and he's going to protect me, and I really don't have to put a whole lot of work in it. Well, that's a lie, because you've got to put a lot of work into, you can't work your salvation, you can't work your way into heaven, but you've got to work, and you've got to be strong, and you've got to do some spiritual exercising, right, to stay strong in the things of God. And that's done by prayer, that's done by being in the Word, that's done by meditation, that's done by serving, that's done by attending a biblical community. We shared a week or two back on Wednesdays of being connected to a biblical community. Being this next week, I think we're going to talk about spiritual gifts on Wednesday night and the spiritual gifts that come about that way, and why do we have those spiritual gifts, and what are you going to do with those spiritual gifts? You know, God doesn't just give us gifts for us to hoard and to hold on to. And to puff up and say, well, I've got this gift, and I've got this gift, and I've got this gift. You may not have all of them. You might have one or two of them. But, you know, you might say, well, I've got those things. But people around you might be going, but I don't see them. You're not performing them. You're not allowing them to work. You're not allowing them to be used in the body of Christ. And a lot of that is where it comes out. It's in the service aspect. It's the coming to that of the biblical community of where we're at as a church, to where we can come together and then go out and help and then come back in and learn and grow and be pruned. I really, as I shared, I think in the back, is that, you know, I'm glad that that's really not going to be me do the pruning. I don't want to prune. I just want to throw the Word of God out there, and by the Spirit, let the Spirit prune you. Amen. Let the Spirit, and we do that, we could call it by that of convicting. The world and the devil would like to say, well, you're being condemned. No, I'm not being condemned, I'm just being convicted. I'm just being told, you know, in my spirit that didn't feel well with the Spirit of God. You need to change, Tim. You need to do something different. You need to lay that down and do it this way. And so we find that as we go through life, that I believe the Lord, he's just continuing writing his word upon the tablet. And praise God, it's not a stone tablet that we got to carry around with us, but it's the tablet of our heart. He writes it upon our heart. It says that in Corinthians, that written not with the ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. And it's not on the tablets of stone, but on the tablet of flesh, and that is of the heart. Now, praise God. Who in here has a heart? I'm happy. We got something that God can work with. Hallelujah. You know, we all have a heart. We just need to open it up and say, Lord, write on my heart, you know. And so we share a lot of things along that line. To bring us up to speed on some of that, we talked about, you know, what was thought about and why Paul was needing this letter and all, because of things that were taking place in Corinthians and all, in Corinth. But then we looked in the Old Testament and Jeremiah. We looked at some of the things that were being done back then, and talking about how Jeremiah 31:33 talked about, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. On their hearts. My goodness. Ezekiel talks about then I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit in them. And then, praise God, he takes that stony heart out. I don't hopefully see anybody in here with a stony heart. Amen. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Amen. And that's what I want. I want a heart that's pliable and that's soft and it's able to be molded. Amen. Mold me and make me what I ought to be, you know. And that should be our prayer. That should be one of the things we step up almost. You might need to do it every morning when you wake up. Lord, mold me and make me into what you want today. Because if we step away from that too far, we get to the point where we don't want to be touched by God. Don't tell me what I've got to do. Don't mold my heart anymore. I've had it up here. I think I'm okay. I'm doing whatever. I don't need any more of this. Well, we need all we can get of God. We get to that point where we think we've elevated to the point to say, well, I'm good enough. No, you're not good enough. I'm not good enough. None of us in here is good enough. You know, we've got to get gooder. We got to be open to the things of God on a daily basis and say, here I am. Kind of like what I appreciated Don coming up saying this morning, that he's open, like there's an open, a pouring in. And we've got to be willing to say, Lord, open up above us and just pour in us. But the Lord will not force his pouring upon you. He will say, I'm here to drop it into you, but are you willing to take it or do you want it? Many of us say, well, I want it. But do you really want it? Because there's always something that comes with it when God puts something in us. Because here again, he doesn't just put it in us just to get it in us. He puts it in us so that what? We can go out and share it and spread it into the highways and the byways, the families that we're a part of, the jobs that we have, into our coworkers, into our neighbors, even to help spread it in the church. Can you believe the word of God's got to be spread in the church? Woo! My goodness. Sometimes the driest part around right now is in the church. Got a lot of churches that do a lot of good things and a lot of good programs. And we were talking at one time in some groups of pastors, and it's like, you know, we were sharing, and it's like they felt like they're having a draw of people away from them. And some people left their church, and they left it, and they said, well, you know, it just, the worship just wasn't, we just couldn't, the worship, the music. It's like we're sitting in this group of pastors. Like, really? Like, that's what draws people to church is entertainment. Now, we could look holier and all that and say, well, praise and worship, that's pretty powerful to God. You can put somebody up here on the platform that sings off key, that plunks on a guitar, that ain't worth a flip in knowledge, but if they've got the Spirit of God flowing, they'll come through that. You don't need performers up there. You need worshipers up there. Well, then we get people up there playing, and then the people out here go, well, they just don't sound like that professional band out on TV. They don't sound like Hillsongs. They don't sound like Jeremy Camp. They don't sound like this guy. They don't sound like that person, that group. So they put a lot of pressure sometimes on churches and praise and worship teams up here because the people and what we've gotten into is an entertainment value. And I hear some of these churches, and these were churches out of the Beloit area, talking about how they had some people leaving, and they would just come to the pastor and say, well, I just can't get into the worship. I'm going to go down to this church. They got, you know, a 12-piece ensemble, and they got this and that. I've heard tell that there's some churches in some of our areas that they even advertise and try to get people out of the bars at night to play worship on their Sunday mornings just because the person has that talent that they can do well. But they hire them out of the honky-tonks that they played Friday and Saturday to come up and play on their platforms on Sunday morning. Well, I don't know, Pastor, that could be a great outreach to get that person saved. I'll give it to you, maybe. But I think the other side of the coin is, what are you bringing into that realm of worship that is really a holy place? Like I say, I'd rather have somebody up here sing off key in the presence of God than somebody that can sing and hit every note, and they're just doing it, and they have no inkling of being close to God. Then they go, how much am I getting paid? You know, churches pay for people to come and play. And it's not bad if that's the thing that happens. I'm just saying we've got to be cautious, but we find that happening in our churches, even in our local area here that I find with their pastors, that, you know, they're finding it's like, well, so really, you know, I thought people are really the power, what comes across with the Word of God and the preaching and the, you know, whether the preacher could be, you know, not that good, but the Word of God is good. And if you could just read the Word of God, that should be sufficing. But now we've got to have people that perform. We've got to have pastors that can tell all kinds of good stories and good this and good that and articulate a lot of particular things because everybody out there wants to have it being entertained to them. We are sometimes past the point of just taking the Word of God for what the Word of God is and letting it divide us, separate the things within us, and then prune us and get us stronger to Him. And so I think what we find is that there will be, and there's wonderful big churches, and I know it always sounds like we're kind of down on those, but you know, there's wonderful big churches out there that do some powerful, wonderful things. And it's really, it's just what's drawing the people. And I don't know, I just hope that, and we can be as faulty of it here, I mean, big or small, if we come with the wrong reason. If we stand up here with the wrong reason, then it's wrong. I don't care if there's 50 people here, 20 people here, or 5,000 people here. If anything is done wrong from up here, it's wrong, you know. And so it's that time of where is God at with us, and how can we share that epistle? How can He write upon our hearts so that we can be a difference of people out there where it needs to be? And so we need to allow God, and He wants to write on your heart. Don't you believe that? He's wanting to put His word on your heart. And we're going to get into some things here quickly about in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Renewing of the heart and the mind is the start of our transformation. Trust and believe and hope that every one of us, myself, I got to be in front of the line, if nothing else. I've got to be in the line of transformation. I got to be in that line and saying, Lord, transform me, move through me, change me, Lord. You know, there's still things that I've got to deal with. There's still things I got to put away, that I've got to push aside, that I've got to surrender, that I, whatever it is, there's things that I've got to do just like you. Amen. I'm glad I'm not alone. Are you guys still dealing with stuff? Well, good. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing and transforming of your mind, you're going to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Good. We need that. A lot of dissension going along. A lot of little things out there. And the dissension, or deception, is going to come through a lot of that of the Word of God in the churches. They're going to want to deceive everybody out there as best they can. The world is already deceived. The devil does not need to deceive the world anymore. But he's got to infiltrate the church. He's got to infiltrate where the Word of God was at one time really being focused on and preached about. And he's got to get in there, and he's got to degrade it. He's got to change it. He's got to soften it. He's got to sweeten it up, or whatever the case might be. He's got to get to the point of tickling the ears of people. Oh, well, there's another thing. If you don't tickle the ears of people, they'll find somebody down the road that they can do that to them. I shared in Sunday school on some things I'm pruning, and I said, well, I don't know what I was saying, but I said, if I'm stepping on toes, I mean it. I'm stepping on my toes too. There are times you got to have your toes stepped on to get your attention. You can't just sit up here and think, la, 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 everything's well and good, you know. There's things that we got to address, things that we got to look at, and it talked in regards of pruning as far as, yeah, you know, there's things that I've got to look at that I've got to be pruned in. And the Lord has to step on my toes just like His stepping on yours. And then sometimes it might be a brother or a sister in the Lord that might have to come up and step on my toes to get my attention. And then it's like, how are you going to respond to them? In love? Are you going to have an offense? Well, there we just opened up a whole can of worms there. You know, iron sharpens iron. We're good for each other. We should be able to come head on and say this and say that and say it in love and then back off and then let's see where God takes it through that of the Spirit. Let's pray about it and let's help you, whatever the case might be. But we've got to be willing to do those things. If not, who is? If your church family can't come and help, you know, correct you, and it's not to chastise you and all these things. It's just by things that we see. It's not to say we're better than you or I'm better than Lou or I'm better than Pat or whatever the case might be. I'm just saying we look at each other and we just want to help each other. We want to be a help to one another. And if we can't do that, and if we won't allow that to happen, you're setting yourself up for a terrible fall. And so anyway, We look at this of transforming ourselves. I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I've got to look at this. And then Romans, it says that, my goodness, but by being transformed, by renewing of your mind, that you may prove. I'm going to be able to, as I do that, you're going to be able to, as you do this, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. New Century Version says it this way. So, brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to Him. Remember, He's a jealous God now. He doesn't want to share you with anything else. He does not want to share you with the pleasures and the happy things of this life here. He's a jealous God. Now, He will bless you, and you will have a wonderful life here. You will have life in the abundance. It's not to say that, oh, woe is me, I'm a Christian, I'm going to be miserable till I go to glory. It's not that at all. But you must be only for God and pleasing to Him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. Wow. So we find here that Paul, he's appealing to the Christians in Rome. God has shown His great love to them all, and if they have the right attitude to God, then they will think rightly about themselves, and this will make a difference to their relationship with other people. That's some of the problems we have. How do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself as? What you think of yourself is what you're going to portray yourself to be. Also, in one of the lessons on Wednesday night, I shared on this morning back there in the biblical community in Proverbs, how it talks about, you know, if you want to see what you're going to turn out to be in life, look at who you're hanging with. Who are you around? What is part of your life here right now? And generally, that group of people or whatever you're a part of, I could, by looking at that, pretty well say that's where you'll probably end up in 20 or 25 years. You'll be on that road. It's not to say that you can never change, but I'm just saying it's who you hang with pretty well tells who you are. If I hang with Christ and I'm a follower, remember I had that Bible, a DVD series on a fan or a follower? You know, if you're just a fan of Him, you will only like Him when everything's good. And you'll be, oh yeah, that's great, and you'll be a fan, and oh my goodness. But a true follower, you're going to be there through thick and thin, no matter what's happening, no matter if ups or downs, you're going to be a follower of Christ, no matter what. In the good times and the bad times. It portrayed that of a sports team. What? There's fans and there's followers of sports teams out there. True fans, true followers of a sports team, even if that team is in the basement and they're so far behind first place, they won't ever get themselves out of that. You will find a true fan or a follower of them will be there no matter what. I just love that team. I know they're in the basement of points and statistics, but I just love them, man. It's just inbred in me. I just love them. The fan will be, well, as long as they're on the winning streak, I'll go to every game. But once they start losing, it ain't worth my money to go, and I'm not going to sit there and blah, 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 so I drop out. Well, we find a lot of that at times with the fan or the follower of Christ. We find a lot of people, when everything is going good, they're right up there with Him. When everything is going good, they're attending church. When everything's going good, they're the first ones to say, amen! They're the first ones to come up and do this. They're the first ones, whatever. But then let a little adversary come into their life. Let a little struggle come in, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. And pretty soon they falter away. They step back. They don't know what's going on. Well, that just tells you they were kind of like just falsely building themselves up to look Christian, to look like a true follower of Christ, when all they were was just a fan. Oh yeah, back in that Bible study it talked about, you know, they profess but they don't confess, or they don't possess and things like that. You know, they can profess these things but they don't possess the things of what God has. They say they might have been born again, they were baptized, but yet they don't have that deep development within them. And so they got to be pruned. May need to be cut off as God prunes. Cut off the branches that are no good. And so as we find these things developing within us, we find that we've got to be strong in the things of God. We've got to allow these things that he writes upon our hearts to be able to be viewed by others around us. And it's not just for them. It's got to be for us. And it's not to stand out and to show off, right? But it's just to say, man, I love being around you. You're such a solid person. It doesn't matter if things are up or down. You know, Dan, it doesn't matter. You're right on with God. You're not upset with him. A lot of times you might be saying, where did I miss it at, God? This is happening in my life. What did I do? What did I miss? So we find that God has shown his great love to these people in Rome. They have the right attitude to God. They will think rightly about themselves. This will make a difference in their relationship with other people. Christians must offer their bodies as a sacrifice to God. Now, Paul's not talking about, we're not going to talk about die. Okay, everybody, we're going to sacrifice our bodies to Christ. Come next Sunday and we're going to just go out here and, you know, be a martyr. He's explaining how Christians should live their lives in this world. They should try to use every part of their bodies in a manner that pleases God. They will use their feet. Go! God says, go somewhere. Go minister here. Go do this. Go be a part of that. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to go to Africa. It could just say, go across town to that area. Go across or go over the side of the street over here and be a help there. Go help in that church. Go help in this outreach, whatever it might be. They will use their feet to go where God wants them to go. Use your hands to help others. Use your ears to listen to other people's problems. With your mouth, you will speak encouragement to other people and tell them the good news about Christ. The right use of the body will make the perfect sacrifice that pleases God. The right use of the body will make a perfect sacrifice that pleases God. Their worship is just not a ceremonial expression. It's the kind of worship, it's a spiritual kind that God asks us for. In verse 2, when we read that there, talking about... And do not be conformed to this world. Christians must also change the way that you think. That is sometimes the hardest thing to do with people when they get turned over to Christ and born again, whatever we want to call it, is you've got to realize you've got to change your thinking. And that's one of the hardest things. You've got to change what you say. Life and death and the power of the tongue. If you continually confess that you're going to be a nobody, you're going to be a nobody. If you're going to confess illness and sickness and pain and doom and gloom is going to be there with you. It's what you say. It's what you confess. It's what you're believing for. It's what you're trusting that's going to happen. Christians must also change the way that you think. The word change is talking about that same word that describes the change in Jesus' body. If you look in Mark 9:2, the transformation or transfiguration of him. Back in Mark 2, it is easy for people to copy what other people do, but Christians should not copy everything that the world does. Christians belong to God's kingdom, so they should behave in a different way than the people that are not Christian. What a Christian will think or what a Christian thinks will affect what they do. You should think differently. You should make careful choices about what you read. Careful selections on TV. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to please God. That would probably be the easiest thing to do, is just turn it over. Spirit. Father God, oh Father, by the Spirit, Lord, just draw me close to you. Let the Spirit lead me and guide me, Father God, into things that please you. If I would just surrender myself to that, I wouldn't have to really fight a whole lot. I'd still have some battles probably within myself saying, oh, the Spirit wants this, and I want my flesh wants to do that. Well, then you got to learn how to battle the flesh. And that's another point. The Holy Spirit will guide Christians as they try to please God. They will want to obey God so they can reflect the Lord's glory. They will continue to change and be like him. That's the thing. Continuing to change. We have not arrived. I know you all look good. You're right up there with Christ. Your lives have changed. You're doing better things. Things have happened in your life. Things are developing. But there's still more in us that needs to do that. Amen. Things that we have to deal with. We get down to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. As we see the nature of God with unveiled minds, we can become more like him. learning about Jesus like we can understand how wonderful God is and what he is like. As our knowledge deepens, the Holy Spirit helps us change. As our knowledge deepens, we've got to allow change to come upon us. Change me, Lord. This I pray. Mold me, use me. This I pray. Like that of the potter. I'm the clay. If we can honestly come to him and say, Lord, mold me and use me. This is what I pray. And then at times, Lord, you know, when it's almost like that of pruning, you know, I feel the pot being molded up and all, and something I do, something stupid. And I feel like at times he's got to squish it in on the side, or maybe he just has to splat it down again and say, okay, Tim, let's start over. It's almost like that of pruning, you know. But praise God, he doesn't throw us away. He starts over again. He reworks us. He starts us afresh. Amen. Sometimes you might need to come to him and say, Lord, I want to come afresh to you and just start this whole walk with you again new. Even if you've been with him for 30 years, you might have to come to him and say, Lord, I want to come at the freshness of just knowing you, and I just want a fresh undertaking with you, and now come and let that begin. How wonderful that is, because then all of a sudden your testimony, or to those that you talk to and even your church family, is like, you know, I've been serving the Lord for 35 years, but these last 3 weeks have been the most powerful, the most refreshing, the most invigorating that I can ever recall. Isn't that wonderful? That's my God. That's your God. But you had to ask, and you had to open yourself up. You had to say, Lord, I want that. I want you to freshen me up. I want you. There's a lot of stale, stagnant Christians out there. A lot of stoic ones. A lot of really stiff ones, you know. We got to be pliable. Our hearts are got to be pliable. Our minds have got to be renewed. We've got to just come before him. And you know, when you're struggling, you just got to admit you're struggling with him. And don't put on a persona like, everything's good and I can do it myself. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You're flesh and blood. We got things and issues that we got to deal with. But God is there to help us. Amen. So we look at this and we know that in the things that we do is nothing but to allow him to write that epistle on my heart so that others can read it. And maybe, you know what, I've got to read it myself sometimes. Maybe I've got to share a testimony that invigorates me, that shares some things that God has done in my life so that I, again, become more encouraged, more enlightened, more invigorated, whatever it is, to the things of what God has. The more we follow Christ, the more we will be like him, and we learn from him that it is a progressive experience. Pray that your Christian walk is nothing but a progressive experience with God day in and day out. His mercies are new every day. Don't put him into a box and say, well, it was well and good now, Lord, and I'll put you up here on my little shelf, and it was good, thank you. And I'm going to go the rest of the life my way and do the best I can. Let him be in your life every day, and let his mercies be in you so that you can wake up every day and say, oh, Lord, your mercies are new every day. Oh, Lord, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. When you're going through struggles and strife and things are happening and you just feel like it's total darkness around you, notice that when it's the darkest, the light is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I can't go there. We'll go there eventually, but we can't go there. You know, some things that we want to get into. But we've got to know that that's what God is about. We've got to know that that's why he's there. And that's why we got to know that we have a friend in Jesus, that I could come to him and I could just say, Lord, I need help. Well, God doesn't go, well, you've been a Christian here, I've seen now for 42 years. You shouldn't need any of my help. What's wrong with you, you loser? No, he's not like that. He goes, I see that struggle, Tim, and we'll take care of it. Turn it over to me. Surrender. I surrender all. I surrender to you, Lord, for your strength to come in and take that void and fill that weakness. Amen. So, returning back to the opening statement, reflecting God through our lives. We talked about that before. I should have shared this, that what are people looking for and searching for today? Answers. They're looking for directions. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for peace. They're looking for purpose. There's a lot of things that people are looking for out there, and I believe a lot of that can be found written upon our heart. I believe a lot of that can be found when people find us. If you're sure of yourself in Christ and your faith can't be shaken and you're strong in the things that God has for you, not saying that you're perfect and that you're a holier than thou, but you are holier than those out there because your righteousness is like that of filthy rags, except for the righteousness now that you have is that of Christ, of God's righteousness. You're righteous because of Him. And so you've got to think of yourself, of who you are, and don't allow the enemy to downgrade that, but you've got to stand up and know who you are in Christ and know that you are somebody. And that no matter what the world tries to put upon you, you will be victorious. That's it. Period. No question mark of being victorious in this world. Not with Christ in you. Not with God going before you. You are who you are in Christ, and God is the God for you, period. Hallelujah. Don't allow the devil to put a question mark there. It's the one thing the devil wants to do. He wants you to question your faith, question your salvation, question your healing, question your strength, question your peace, question your direction in life. You want to walk in the question mark the rest of your life? I used to do that, but not anymore. I walk with an understanding of an exclamation point of who I am in Christ. And that all things will be good. And my direction is not mine. My feet are set on His path. Hallelujah. I know the plans that I have for you, Tim. Plans of prosperity and purpose and not for failure and you're not going to lose and all that type of stuff. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, just paraphrase all that, but it's a plan and a purpose that He has for me and He has for you and He has for all of us. But there's a clincher in that to where it says that you got to listen to Him. I will hear your prayers. And I will answer your prayers if you will listen to me with all your heart. I think it says that, doesn't it? I'd have to look at it real quick. But there's a part on our part that we've got to play that gets us there. God has a lot of good things for us and will do a lot of great things for us and a lot of grand things for us. But you've got to look at the very end result. It says, if you do this. Somebody got 29:11? Let's just read that. I love it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. Period. Oh, wait, let's continue on. When you search for me with all your heart. My challenge, my hope, my goal, whatever it is, what I feel the Lord wants me to try to do is just connect people to Him, but we got to do it with our whole heart. I've got to somehow, myself included, connect and plug into God with my whole being. Everything in me has got to be plugged into Him. I cannot leave one part of me unplugged from Him because one part unplugged from Him allows too much of the world to still have its tantalizing effect on me. And I don't want the world to be able to drag me and plug into something of the world that causes me to be, off balance with the things that God has. Plug into God with everything that you got. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you and praise you and thank you for who you are, Lord, and that what you're doing in our lives, we thank you. And Lord, as you continue to minister into each and every one here today, Father, we thank you that we want to turn more of our lives over to you. I hope everyone here can say that, Lord. That we want to turn more of our lives over to you, Lord. We want to plug into you 100% of everything that we've got, Lord, so that you can download the things that you would have for us. Write upon our hearts the epistle, Lord, of what you're doing in our lives so others can see it, so that we can be the Bible that some people will only read. Take us and lead us and guide us, Lord, into these things. Let it not be our desire, but let it be yours, Lord. For we have nothing to give people except you, and you've got it all, Lord. Let us be a conduit of your blessings, a conduit of your love, a conduit of your peace and joy, whatever it might be, Lord. Flow through us so we can flow into others and that you get the glory. We thank you, Lord, right now. We thank you, Father, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, there is so much more you want to do with each and every one of us. You've barely scratched the surface in our lives. We have barely surrendered enough of us to you, Lord. There's so much we want to surrender to you. We want you to, Lord, come in as we had prayed earlier in the service of felt like an open heaven above us and you're just pouring in, Lord. Continue to pour into us this day. And not only when we're here, but Lord, as we go home and as we're at work, wherever we might be, Lord, continue to pour into us. Let this be a vessel of honor for you, Lord God. The world has had enough of us. We've done enough in this world and glorified the things of this world. Let us now turn totally over to you, Father, and bring light and glory into this world, Father God, by what you pour in us. Lord, we thank you for the light that is within us that shines forth into the darkest hour. We thank you, Father, that you go before us and prepare that way. We thank you, Lord, right now for all these things, for all that you're doing, all that you're continuing to do. May you find us faithful, what you've given us to do. May we always bring glory and honor to you in our walk. We thank you, Father. Father, as we